This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Picture this. It's a Friday night. No, picture this. Hold on, let me change that. Picture this. Don't cut this out because I need the people to know the real. Picture this. It's Friday morning. Your mom comes banging on your door. Bah, 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 get up. You're going to be late for the school bus. And you're like, it's Friday. Friday in September. It's still hot outside even though it's September because you live on the West Coast. Still hot out. It's 90 degrees. It's going to be 90 degrees. You turn on Jillian Barbary on the news in the morning. Fox 11, KTTV, morning news. And it's a Friday in September. Have I said that yet? And then all of a sudden, wait, no, I'm jumping ahead in the story. You get up, you wash your face, you brush your teeth. You put 2 Eggo waffles in the toaster oven and a Jimmy Dean sausage on the stove. And you pour syrup all over that shit. You eat it. And then you go back into your room. It's time to get dressed. You find your best Dickie shorts. Your highest calf length Van socks. And your slip on checkerboard Vans. And you throw on your Pro Club t-shirt. And over that t-shirt, you put on your fresh, clean jersey. Because it's game day. You go to school. You get on the bus first. You got to get on the bus to go to school first. You get on the bus. And then you get off the bus at school. You realize you forgot something at home, but you can't think about that because it's game day. You go in all your classes and you don't pay attention. You just sit there, go to lunch, and you find your homeboys who got all their jerseys on too. Y'all dap each other up. Why? Because it's game day. And then during sixth period, around 2:15, you stand up and you proclaim to your teacher and the rest of the class, I have to leave because it's game day. Why do you have to leave so early? Because you go to a LAUSD school that doesn't have lights on the field, so your game is at 4. And you get up and you go to the locker room. And you put on your football pads, on your pants pads, not your top pads. You still got on your jersey. But you throw on that long sleeve turtleneck Under Armour that you had that's way too hot for the weather. But you want to look like Priest Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
And you go out and you have pasta and salad with a roll, which is the pregame meal provided by Reggie's mom. Reggie's your running back. Why is Reggie your running back? Because it's game day. Then 4 o'clock hits. And you go play the game. And it's over before the sun completely goes down because it's game day. And also your field doesn't have lights. Because the neighbors don't want late football games. Can you imagine that feeling, fellas? Can you imagine that feeling?
No, I feel like there was not enough detail.
I got some more for you.
Yeah, I want to know what happened first through fifth period.
First period.
Fine with glossing over the game completely. Who cares? But I want to know about these early periods.
First period, was jazz there... band.
You're late. Every day. Yeah. Every day is jazz band.
Well, no, because your school is on block schedule. Okay. So it's every other day. And first period, jazz band. You take out your saxophone. You lick the reed. 2.5. You put it on and you can't seem to quite read the music because you don't practice. You don't practice. And the teacher knows. You think you can't be heard. The teacher knows you're not playing. The teacher knows you're only playing the scales. But when it gets hard, second tenor sax, first baritone, then second period. Damn, what did I have second period? Junior year. English. Your teacher's old. She's an old lady. She always seems to have an injury. She's always wearing some sort of wrist brace. But it ain't like a carpal tunnel one. Yeah. It's just like she's hurt for some reason. She's an old lady. Then there's nutrition. 20 minutes in the middle of the day where you go get a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit. Not a McMuffin. That's from McDonald's because it's game day.
You put That's jelly. For nutrition.
You put jelly on that thing. You load it up with jelly. And you drink a little box of juice because it's game day. And then you see all your homeboys headed back to class.
Dap them up.
Okay. Because it's game day. I skipped over nutrition earlier. Third period, you got wind ensemble.
A lot of music. Yeah. Is this a performing arts high school football
game? I'm specifically telling my story. Okay. So, yes, I played football for a performing arts school. It's a public school as well. Welcome to Foosballs. We're going to tell a story like that for 6 minutes at the beginning of every episode.
So what is this podcast?
I'm about to tell you right now. It's a generic football podcast. As you can see behind me up here, this 99 cent. This is a ball that you get out of the thing that has like the bungee cords.
It's a big cage. So the balls don't get out. Yeah. The kids can easily steal and play with
them. It feels more like a dodgeball ball than like a football. Yeah.
That shit will break your fingers, though.
It's a thing that's begging you as a kid to take the ball and go 10 feet away and try and shoot it back into the cage.
Yes.
Begging you.
But then you do that, and other balls fly out.
Yeah, they pour out from the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. And now the dude who works at the grocery store is like, come on, man. I didn't do that.
You got to blame another kid.
I didn't do it. I saw you do it, man.
No, it was that other kid.
I'm one of your hosts, Carl Tart.
I'm one of your other hosts, Ryan Meharry.
And I'm your third and final host, Greg Gallant.
And there will be no more hosts after us.
That's it.
Only guests.
That's it as far as hosts go.
And if they say that they're going to host, if they're here every week, don't believe them. They're still a guest.
They could be a regular guest.
Yeah.
Who like drives the conversation and asks questions to other guests, mm-hmm. but they're still a guest.
They're still a guest.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could be here, and then we'll have another guest that they ask questions to, yes, but they're still a guest. And on this podcast, we're going to talk about football. Fantasy football, real football, lingerie football.
Canadian football.
Aussie rules
football.
Mm-hmm. Soccer.
Soccer. Association football.
Football.
Yeah, football.
Football.
Arena.
And we're not going to talk about any of those things. Except all of them.
You guys get it.
You guys get it. You guys understand.
It's a football podcast.
It's a football podcast. We're going to talk about football. Listen, let's get the chance to know each other.
Yeah.
Because I've never met you guys in my life. Let's get a chance to know each other. Also, we got regulars, special HeadGum people behind the boards. We got Clay, who is always going to be with us. And we got Chef Kevin, who everybody knows and loves. And they're here to guide us, to put up pictures of footballs, and they're just kind of...
Carl asked for the most generic football photo you could find and did a good job.
Listen, that's about to be a kickoff. Look at that. You see
I was thinking someone just nailed a coffin corner punt and just, you know, when you'd play... Maybe you didn't because you were in California, but in Ohio, you would play a Friday night football game in just mud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And a punt would just stick that in the ground.
Like the groundskeeper for this field is like really slipping.
Yeah. It's like, remember that commercial where dude paints the... Paints all
the chef.
That was great. But who are the chefs? Frank, Googler,
Mugler. Man, that was such a big deal in Kansas City.
Yeah.
In middle school, we loved it. Oh, man, they would play it before like games, Chiefs games. People go nuts.
That's great. But who are the chefs? Hungry. The Snickers commercial.
Yeah.
1995.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. We're gonna have to play that.
Lasting
gonna...
legacy. It's stuck with you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That one was. It reminds me of like watching Fox NFL Sunday.
Back when we were kids, you didn't have like YouTube.
No.
Like the sketches you talked about with your friends were beer commercials that you saw during NFL. I was just talking to my brother-in-law about the. Oh, remember. It seems wild to think that at one point Keystone Light did commercials, but do you remember the Bitter Beer Face commercial?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Bitter Beer Face. Someone would have, they would cut back to them, they'd have like a prosthetic mask on.
Or they'd have that guy that they would show, like one of those people you see like in like a the weird museum or whatever. Like, the what's the weird museum?
There's a word you're trying to avoid saying.
Ripley's. Yeah, they could like squish their face in, you know?
The guy who didn't have any teeth. But
he could put his face back. So they would like cut to that guy. And
imagine that guy if he didn't book it. God damn.
I was the breakdown. Yeah. They said we need a guy like the Ripley's Believe It or Not guy. Yeah. I'm the guy from the Ripley's Believe It or Not commercial. How did I not book it?
Is my quote too high?
He's probably always pushing for more commercials. You know what we should do? We should do another one of those Bitter Beer Face commercials.
So, Bitter Hummus Face.
Yeah. We got Damon Wayans Jr. We got Echo Kellum. That's who always beats me out for commercials. We're looking for a Carl Tart type. We can cast Echo Kellum. tell us about your football histories.
I am from Kansas City, so I am a huge, huge Chiefs fan. Which is great these days, but I feel like I have to give like my credentials, which is like such a fun thing to do now. Like that, like I'm not like a bandwagoner. So grew up in Kansas City. I've endured so much heartbreak over the years. I've like had a strong opinion on a like Brody Croyle, Damon Heward training camp battle. So I've been there for the dark days, and I'm really enjoying the sunny skies right now. As far as like playing goes, I played 1 year middle school B team football, backup center.
Backup B team. So B team is an entirely second.
So you had the A team, the good team,
mm-hmm.
and then you had the B team, and I was the backup center on the B team.
You were BB.
Yeah.
BBC, if you will. The B team backup center.
Yeah. I thought I should have started.
Were you friends with the guy who started?
Yeah, Willie.
And you were better than him? You think?
I thought so. He fumbled political. Too many snaps.
Yeah,
that's pretty much your one job. I feel.
Man, I had like one practice where I fumbled like two snaps back to back, and I swear it wasn't my fault. The kid who was the quarterback was too like afraid to like put his hands there, so he would like just like be like up on my like upper like. Tramp stamp area instead of like putting his hands there, so he didn't want to like touch my balls and
gay panic is a big issue for the center to quarterback exchange in middle school and high school. I feel like
high school you get over it,
yeah,
in elementary school for sure, where you just like playing like football after school or something like that.
A lot of shotgun
and somebody shotgun. Everybody used to love to say shotgun. Nobody had the arm strength.
Yeah. But
the other quarterback, though, he was not shy. He would like lift me up, he would grab me by like my like kind of gooch area, and place me where he would want me to be, and I appreciated it.
I remember I'm a big fan of the show Friday Night Lights. I love the show, but I did think it was sometimes telling that there wasn't a lot of football specific like. Whenever they needed to show that the team was off or the quarterback was off, like, or Saracen was having a bad day, it was just bad snaps. It was all, that was like the only, they couldn't think of another way. It was like not him throwing an interception or anything. It was always just like, that was the, let me just throw three bad snaps in a row. That's all we know for how a quarterback could be bad.
What was your football history? Who are you a fan of, Greg? Who are you? When did you play? What did you play? How did you play?
I grew up in southeastern Ohio. So a lot of fans that were Bengals and Browns fans, and Ohio State football ruled the roost. So naturally, I am a Pittsburgh Steelers and Michigan Wolverines fan.
How did this happen?
We actually were closest to Pittsburgh, and my mom's family was from outside Pittsburgh. And also, like, in the mid-90s, when I became a sports fan, it was a bad time for Browns and Bengals. And then things really looked up. They've really been looking up now. So, and then my older cousin, who was sort of like my de facto older brother was from Michigan, lived outside Detroit, and wound up going to Michigan and everything. So I always like copied him, to the chagrin of all my other aunts and uncles and father and everyone.
Because they're all Ohio State people.
Yeah, and I was a big Tim Biakabatuka fan. Oh, man. If anyone remembers.
Oh, God, yeah. My all-time favorite name in football. It's probably so fun. Yeah. Like, especially the full names. I think it's like Shimanga Biakabatuka. Yeah. Oh, man.
It just, they call me Tim.
Yeah, you guys call me Tim.
Yeah. Like, so, it's been a pretty good time as a Steelers fan, other than some of the people you've had to root for.
James Harrison.
Yeah.
Can't stand it.
Really? You hate James Harrison?
He's just mean for no reason.
He's an insane man. He's an insane person.
He's so mean.
But I think I would argue, and maybe I'm a homer here, that he pulled off like the greatest play in
Super Bowl history, I think.
Like, in terms of importance and how crazy it was. Maybe
pretty
the greatest
wild
play ever.
Do you guys remember when he was a Bengal on Hard Knocks?
Yes.
He was so mad.
Yeah.
He was so mad the entire time at the camera crew.
I watched his football life, and I'm like, maybe this will give me a little bit of insight and perspective on why this guy is just so upset all the time. Like, I understand that probably gives him like a competitive edge in football, but it's like, come on, man. Like, you got to be this mad all the time? Shit is not fun. Like, it's not fun to root for.
There's like this crazy shot in that during that Hard Knocks where like he's sitting like in his locker, like really pushed in, like with his back turned. And they're like trying to like angle the camera at him, and he keeps angling away so he can't get his face.
My favorite one for the Bengals Hard Knocks was Chad Ochocinco getting his earrings at Claire's.
Oh, yeah.
He goes to get his bling at the Claire's in the mall, which I thought was awesome.
He eats McDonald's all day. We were just having a conversation about this because DK Metcalf said that he only eats one meal a day and a bunch of candy, and he drinks a coffee. So he's like, I get up in the morning, I go work out, then I work out again. And by this point, it's like noon. I'm like, you've had two workouts before noon? Jeez Louise, my man. That's why you look like that.
Yeah.
But then he said, so I'm hungry by this point. So I get a coffee from Starbucks. And then around 4 or 5, the coffee will tie me over till around 4 or 5, in which then I will order. He said, order his candy and water. He's like, I order a bottle of water and some candy, like 3 bags of candy, Skittles gummies. And Lifesavers gummies, and I'll mix them up. And then I'll have my meal. And I go, there's no way that this man, probably the best physique in the NFL, in the National Physique League, spelled with an F.
Yeah.
There's no way that that's all he eats. I can't believe it.
No, it's pretty nuts.
And my trainer's telling me, where are they all going? Everybody's walking out. Headgum's going on strike.
These are great windows to distract you when you're
I'm looking over here all day long. Just being like, who's that? Oh, hey, who's that over there?
Can we get a little picture-in-picture just so the audience, when they watch, know what we're seeing?
Yeah.
If that's like his diet, he seems like, you know how, like when a lot of like offensive tackles retire, like Joe Thomas, they get like really skinny.
Yeah.
DK Metcalf is going to like be one of those guys that just blows up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you see
cornerbacks. Cornerbacks get fat after an offensive lineman gets skinny.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen Dwayne Bowe recently.
No, is he big?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's
fat. Shout out to Dwayne Bowe for setting up so many great fantasy team names.
Oh, somewhere over Dwayne Bowe?
Yeah, the Dwayne Bowe connection.
Name. Yeah.
A lot of, okay, so just two, I guess. But
damn, there are no new images of him right now. Oh, there's one.
Turn off safe search.
Yeah. Oh, he has gotten large.
Yeah, he...
He looks like me.
I went to the Chiefs like Super Bowl rally a few years ago when they won 54, and
don't say parade. I feel like rally makes it seem a little January 6th.
Yeah. I went to the Chiefs storming of the Capitol.
It was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful, perfect day. Everyone was so happy.
They stormed Canton. They stormed the Hall of Fame.
But it was the rally where they brought like everyone on stage for like the speeches and stuff. And Dwayne Bowe came out too. Like he was a part of the team, and it was kind of sad.
Oh, yeah, I want DK Metcalf to do like the Gwyneth Paltrow thing, where she's like, "Here's what I can buy for groceries for the week with $40." You see his fridge, and it's just a bunch of gummy bear salads. Yeah,
that's crazy, man. I was like, that he has to be like exaggerating this. There's no way you have that body. on one meal a day and gummy bears.
It's impossible. Like, I feel like you would get, after, like, you get sick.
Yeah. You get, if you get hit, like, imagine getting hit with that. Like, that's all I got in my stomach.
That's all you got to protect you.
It's got to be an off-season meal or something. But, yeah. All right. I mean, being naturally that big. But continue your story.
Sorry. Yeah. So those are my teams. I played some middle school football. I played safety and tight end. My claim to fame was that I did lead the league in takeaways 1 year, because in six games I had a pick and two fumble recoveries.
Damn. Whoa. Okay.
But I wanted to be a wideout. That was my dream. And if you're watching on the video, you know why that's funny.
I mean, listen, we're old now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but I was, yeah. when I was in college and I was skinny, I played a lot of flag and I was great. But then not so much. And we never passed the ball, but the other team decided to one day and I picked it off. I ran it back like 5 yards and got tackled. And I came to the sideline and I was on fucking cloud nine. And my coach, you know, one of the kids' dads, comes right up to me and he goes, "Nice job, Gallant." He's like, "I can't believe you didn't fumble it when you got tackled." And it was such an unnecessary thing to say. Yeah,
like, thank you, sir.
Yeah. So, and then I didn't play in high school or anything, but I was there every game night because I was tuba. I was first tuba in the marching band for 4 years, arguably carrying a heavier load.
Yeah. Marching with a damn sousaphone.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even, I wish it was a sousaphone that, like, goes around you and rests. We just had this, like, tuba that you put the whole thing on one shoulder. It was crazy.
Oh, hell no.
And then, yeah, I've gone undrafted about 15 years in a row now. I'm still holding out hope.
Trying to get that training camp invite.
Yeah, trying to do, like, a Mark Wahlberg invincible thing, you know.
You sending videos or anything?
Not even a Jason Preston move. I'm trying to do? Do you remember Tony Danza in the garbage-picking, field-goal-kicking Philadelphia phenomena?
Yes.
Were those movies all about the Eagles? Weird.
Yeah, it's always the Eagles.
He like kicks a piece of trash and they notice him. So I need to catch something and have a scout notice me. Yeah, I'll catch some trash.
Why do you think it's always the Eagles? I think those movies are always the Eagles because it's like the Eagles are like, we're like the lovably hateable loser. Like, it can't be the Cowboys. Yeah, the Cowboys are too good.
And it's an underdog. It's Rocky. The city has an underdog chip on its shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. Well, we solved it.
Yeah.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, well, now it's time for me to do my football history. And Clay, throw on that music. I didn't give him any music. The Madden 2005 hip-hop remixes to the NFL films of 1960s. Remember those?
Oh, I didn't have 05. I had 04 and 06.
I didn't play football until... I played 1 year when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And did not like it because it hurt. And I didn't play again until high school. My sports in between that time were baseball and basketball. And I got to high school... And everybody was like playing, and the coaches. I was a big kid as a freshman. And coaches like, you got to come out. You know, you got to come out.
Yeah.
And I came out, and I was soft. Of course, I didn't want to play lineman.
Yeah.
I was like chubby as a ninth grader. Didn't want to play. Too soft to really do. And they were like, "Man, you big for nothing." Like, and I wore number 73. Oh, we got to talk about the numbers we wore. You wore 55.
Yeah.
You wore.
I don't know what I might have worn 89. I like 88, 89. The Steelers had a guy named Ernie Mills who had this famous play where he caught a pass and slammed right into the goalpost.
Oh, yeah.
Held
yeah.
out. And I always loved that dude. I feel like he had a big gap in his teeth. He had like a straight
from the goalpost.
Yeah. But
I stuck in his teeth. God.
But I wore 10 because 10 because I'm also a Braves fan, which is a whole nother thing. But 10 was Chipper Jones and Cordell Stewart.
Yes.
So 10 was a big one for
Cordell
me.
Stewart.
Did you
he
love,
was tight.
Yeah, did you love Cordell Stewart?
I fucking loved Cordell Stewart.
Because he was like, because he was kind of, like, he could be maddening, right? Like, because he
not
like,
to a kid.
Yeah.
To a kid, a kid's not going, he's inefficient. A kid is like, he's fucking fast and awesome, fast, and he plays any like, position.
Yeah.
It's funny because in college, his famous, big, famous college moment was at the expense of Michigan with the big Hail Mary from Colorado. But then he was
Michael Westbrook?
I believe so, yeah. And yeah, but it, as a kid, slash, I'll try and pull this up for the next episode, but I know I have school pictures from like fourth grade where I'm in the Slash jersey, the Steelers. Like, you know, it was like school picture day, you got to look nice. And I was like, I'm wearing this fucking jersey. Or maybe snuck it to school and then put it on for the picture and my parents were mad.
Oh, would they be mad if you wore like a jersey?
In my school picture? Probably.
My mom didn't care.
Yeah, but it's hanging up now. So they think it's funny now, I guess.
The one time I wore a jersey, I remember this because I think it was the only time I ever wore a jersey. It was a Ron Dane New York Giants jersey.
Man, I thought Ron Dane was going to be so good.
Yeah. Can I tell a Ron Dane aside right now?
Please.
My dad was an alumni of Ohio State, too. And so every year if you're an alumni, you get a chance to buy tickets at Faith. So Ohio State football is fucking huge, if you don't know. And like, because the pro teams have been kind of meh in Ohio for a long time, Ohio State football is just like a really fucking big deal. Yeah. And so just the it wasn't like you won the lottery to get tickets. You won the lottery to get the opportunity to buy face value tickets because then they would all resell. That would be like to win the lottery is like for the Michigan game. But so he would get one set every year and the game would change. And sometimes the first game I ever went to was Ohio State versus Rice and it was 70-7. And the next game was Toledo and it was 49-0 and they didn't score in the fourth quarter. So that was the kind of situation. But one year, for some reason, my dad got two games and he's like, I'm going to take you to one. I'm going to take your sister to one. My sister didn't really care about football. And I was more like, I want to see the guys on the other team who are going to be like, legends in the pros.
Yeah.
And he had Wisconsin and Purdue. And I was like, I got to go to Wisconsin. I got to see Ron Dane. He's going to be the greatest running back of all time. And my dad was like, well, your sister has a camp the other day, so she's going to Wisconsin. And I was like, fuck, I was so mad. And I was like, now I have to go see him play Purdue with some fucking dildo quarterback named Drew Brees. Yeah. And who's this guy going to fucking be? And of course, like, Saul, the at one point all-time leading passer at the NFL when he was a I also got to see them play NC State with Phil Rivers in college too. I caught some good, not to mention all the Ohio State players. But I got to go to Michigan Ohio State one time, and Michigan, it was like one of the few years Michigan was ranked higher and favored, and it was the Ted Ginn Jr. coming out party.
Oh man.
He had like maybe two punt return touchdowns or like one punt return touchdown. Like, at one point, Michigan went 3-and-out, and I was like, fuck this, I'm going to the bathroom. And I'm walking down the aisle in C deck of Ohio Stadium. It's, you know, 110,000 people. And Ted Ginn has a punt return touchdown, and people are going so nuts. And I'm in a Michigan jersey, and I'm literally in the aisle in the fetal position. Like, I was like 14. It was crazy.
You wearing a Michigan jersey to the horseshoe is crazy.
I know. People would walk right up to my dad and say, you're a bad parent.
Yeah.
Because he had his Ohio State shit on. It was like, wild.
That's crazy. I just watched a TikTok the other day where this dude's walking through Ohio State. While everybody's going to the game, and he's just got a Michigan jersey on, just kind of trotting. Everybody's like, fuck you. Yeah. Fuck off. Man. It's like,
just know if that guy were a 14-year-old, it would have been exactly the same.
I stopped liking Ohio State after the Miami debacle.
Oh,
because I liked the U.
Oh,
yeah,
well, that was
a big Miami
crazy
fan.
Game.
As a kid, yeah. Yeah. Was that Maurice Claret?
Yeah, Maurice Claret.
Claret, who was a classmate of mine at Ohio. I went to Ohio University, and at the time, Maurice Claret was taking classes there.
Really?
From prison.
Oh, wow.
And so we were classmates.
He got the Zoom in?
That was a crazy...
How did that work?
I don't know.
He's in prison right now, too. He's in prison for a while, ain't he?
Yeah, he's...
Yeah.
He's a tough go, man. I think he got screwed over.
His story, that boy's of the Youngstown...
I know. I always wanted to make a 30 for 30 about him, and then someone beat me to it just because I wasn't an experienced filmmaker.
It's always getting in your way.
It's always fucking me up, man. Yeah,
you gotta get some experience as a filmmaker.
Well, think about that big play in that game was Craig Krenzel throws an interception to Sean Taylor, who runs it back and gets hit by Maurice Claret and fumbles it, something I would never do in sixth grade.
No.
And that was, like, other than the big pass interference call, like, the craziest play of the game. And then, like, those three guys' lives going on these crazy different directions.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, tragically for Sean Taylor. And then, like, Craig Krenzel was just, like, never going to play.
It's a really funny name. I forgot that one.
I forgot about Craig Krenzel.
There's a lot of lost Ohio State quarterbacks at the time. Stanley Johnson and Doug Germain or something. Joe Germain.
My dude was Troy Smith. I did enjoy him.
Yeah, Troy Smith.
Fuck, man. I thought he would have. He was incredible. And I thought he was going to be incredible in the NFL, too. And then didn't he get some. What did he get, like, fucking malaria or something in the offseason? I want to say he got a crazy disease in the offseason and lost, like,
that.
30 pounds. And then just, like, he had a year with the Ravens where he was pretty good.
He was pretty good with the Ravens.
Because he was Ohio State to Ravens. So he was, like, a guy that I should have hated because he was always on, like, my arch rival teams. But I feel like he, like, got a crazy disease and then his career was soon over. You're both.
I'm trying.
Are either of you looking this up? I hope it's true. Otherwise, I'm insane.
Lemieux.
Okay.
Lemieux syndrome.
Same letters as malaria, basically.
And that paved the way for Joe Flacco.
Wow.
Becoming the starting quarterback.
Who you always forget about. He's the leading passer in Baltimore Ravens history.
Yeah.
Very surprised it's not that quarterback from the Super Bowl win.
Trent Dilfer?
Trent Dilfer.
I was like, Joe Flacco?
Yeah.
Joe Flacco had the greatest contract year performance in football history.
Oh, yeah.
Or Trent Dilfer.
Yeah. But, like, Flacco was just met, and then he had, like, four good games in a row. They won the Super Bowl in his contract year, and then he got a big-ass deal and never did. He was like the Pablo Sandoval of the NFL. Just like.
Imagine if the 49ers had won that game.
If that.
There would be no more racism.
Nope.
Kaepernick would still be in the league.
Kaepernick would still be in the league, dominated. Be the best quarterback in the league.
You know, if you still buy Madden now, or at least a couple of years ago, I had Madden, and he starts the year as a free agent who's like an 83.
Yeah.
And you can sign him,
it's the
easiest cheat. It's like, and he's good.
Yeah.
That's EA doing right by everyone.
Doing right.
Yeah.
And people were mad about that, idiots. So high school, sophomore year, I get moved up to varsity because I lose a bunch of weight. I get in my bag. You know what I'm saying?
What are you playing, though? Are you an edge rusher?
I was guard, ninth grade.
Okay.
But, again, didn't really do much.
Too soft.
Yeah, too soft to play guard. And then I moved to tight end because even though I lost all this weight, I'm still not that fast. But junior year, start picking it up, catching everything thrown my way. Senior year, me and the coach have a falling out. I'm like, man, I'm going to play basketball.
Yeah.
And so I don't complete that senior year of football.
What was the falling out about?
Being soft. Here, I'll tell you exactly what the story was. See, here's the thing about me and football. I wish I had my brain now back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think one thing about high school coaching across all sports, if you don't go to a powerhouse, is if you don't know how to play, really,
yeah,
they don't know how to teach you.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of can tell you where to be at times.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching a video the other day, the coach at, like, a defensive lineman coach at Florida, like, yelling at these kids, and then a kid messes up, and he goes, I told you not to step in the bucket! And I'm seeing this, and I'm like, what did he do wrong? Like, tell him what he did wrong. Like, and that's always, like, I've always been, like, a person who learns by, if I do something wrong, you tell me what I did wrong, and I will fix it, I promise you. Don't just yell at me for no reason. And so, one day, one of the other coaches told me to blitz. I'm playing outside linebacker. I'm playing Sam, like strong side backer. And I blitz. He goes, blitz C-gap. Blitz C-gap. Don't wait. Don't shuffle. And wait for the running back. Don't blitz. Just blitz C-gap. So I do that. One of the assistant coaches telling me to do this. I go. Running back rushes A-gap. Goes straight where I'm supposed to be at. Gets like 12 yards. Like, the safety has to blow his assignment to come over and, pick up for me. And the head coach is going ballistic on me. What the fuck? Now, keep in mind, this is not a position I play. We're practicing. This is the first year we made playoffs. And they're trying me out at this because, like.
Great time to try new things.
I know.
Yeah. Was somebody hurt?
No, they just wanted the best players to be able to play both sides.
Sure.
And so, like, because, you know, during the season, like, you can kind of, like, sub people in and out.
Where I was from, everyone, like, all the, like, all season, both best players playing both ways. They just didn't even have enough dudes.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, well, your quarterback played free safety all year.
Yeah. I was back up on offense and defense.
Yeah.
You backed both up ways, both ways.
I backed up defensive tackle, too, yeah.
So he was putting me, I was playing there, then the running back goes, and I miss him, of course, and the coach goes insane, and he just starts cussing me out. You a bitch. You've been a bitch the whole time. You've been out here. Like, literally saying this to me. I'm a 17-year-old kid, and he's cussing my ass out, and he's like, and you don't even care, do you? And I'm like, what do you want me to say? Like I messed up. Dude, you just called me a bitch for 10 minutes. And he's like, get off my fucking field. Get off my field. And that was it.
What did he want you to do in that situation? Like, fight him?
And that's the thing. I guess he wanted me to be like, sorry, coach. Yes, coach. Like, yeah. I do care. I want to play.
Yeah.
I guess what he felt my attitude was saying was, I don't really want to play. And keep in mind, this is football playoff time. This is the start of basketball.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like,
and you're a, this shit. I mean, you're a more of a legit basketball prospect at this point, are you
yes.
not? Or you played college basketball?
Yeah.
I can share.
Yeah,
that.
But I was going to be like, I had one weird offer in college for football, and it wasn't even an offer. It was a, hey, like, it was just like a
you
meeting.
Happen to go here.
yeah. But so I just like, I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to play basketball. And then my locker was still in the football locker room at that time. So I left, put my pads down, put my cleats down, and went and changed into my basketball practice jersey and went into the gym. And it was like, oh, shit, he's here.
Hey,
like,
yeah, Carl. Cool. Like, Carl's here.
All my homies was in there, like, stretching, like, getting ready to practice. And,
sometimes you want to go.
Yeah, exactly.
It couldn't be more different than football.
Dude, it was the most, like, welcoming, like, my coach was like, hell yeah, we get a football player. He didn't know that was soft.
Yeah.
But it was like, because he was just like, football player, bam, playing power forward. Yeah. Hell yeah, he's going to be aggressive. He goes, nah, man, I'm going to shoot threes.
Yeah.
But so I go after practice is over, I go back in the football locker room, and the guys are fucking ripping into me. And I'm like, man, the coach is fucking man. Like, he didn't want me to play anyway. Like, what are y'all all mad about? And he was basically saying, like, they were all like, you weren't supposed to quit. You quit on us. I was like, I didn't quit. He kicked me off.
Yeah.
And like, nah, you supposed to fight back. It's like, man, whatever, man. What do you want me to do? So I went back the next year, but then I was like, I'm not playing. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm not gonna. It was like one of my homies, Alex, had ended up like taking the spot as like he ended up playing the NFL. Like, that's how good he was at tight end and linebacker. And so I was going to play behind him. I wasn't as good as he was.
What's his last name?
And Hoffman Ellis. Mm-hmm. He played in Canada for a long time.
Wow.
Alex Hoffman Ellis. You guys can see him. He's a cool-ass dude. That's him right there. He played at Wazoo. And then played him for the BC Lions for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was very good. And I was never going to, like, oh, shit, today's his birthday.
Hey.
Hey, shout out.
Text that guy.
The very first friend of the pod.
Yeah. That's crazy.
How weird.
But so he transferred to our school senior year, and I wasn't gonna play in front of him, and I was like, all right, yeah, I'm gonna stop this.
Be done.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm gonna go play basketball, I'm gonna focus on basketball, and end up getting a partial scholarship. So that was more.
And now you're like football fandom. You're big.
Football fandom for me. Surprisingly enough, and why I have so many regrets about football, and why I wish I had just been taught better, why I wish I had my dad in my life growing up, because my dad was a professional football player.
Mm-hmm.
And he played for the Saints, and he played for the Broncos. I am born in South Mississippi, in the Gulf Coast, and we don't have a team in Mississippi. We got college teams. We don't have a pro team. And where we're from, everybody was either a Saints fan, a Cowboys fan, or kind of a Falcons or Panthers fan. Like, it's kind of like NFC South. But I'm born and raised a Saints fan.
Yeah.
Like, since birth, my grandma's a big Saints fan, my dad, my uncles. My grandpa is a Cowboys fan, and my oldest uncle is also a Cowboys fan because of my grandpa. But my dad, who's the middle boy, and my uncle, who's the youngest, they're both Saints fans. And so I grew up, like, being a Saints fan, and one of my first memories of being a Saints fan is Christmas time. Christmas time, my dad brings me the full uniform with the pads and everything. like the jersey, the pads, everything. And my grandpa chased me around the house all morning with a brown paper bag, being like, put this on your head. Put this on your head. Like, because that was the years of the Aints. This is probably like Christmas 94.
Yeah.
And these days, you can't chase a kid and try and put a bag over their head anymore. What's happened to this country? It used to be a country, man.
Try that in a small town. Try to chase your grandson around with a brown paper bag. Yeah, man.
Wait, so what's the regret? So, like, being like you have regrets
about
being.
You think you could have made the league?
I think I could have. Yeah. I don't know about making the league, but like, A, I would have played quarterback.
Yeah.
I talked myself out of playing quarterback. I can really throw the ball pretty well.
Yeah, people who can. I feel like there's a translatable skill of people who can shoot a basketball to like throw. And not that it's the same motion at all, but there's something about the like mechanics. aim and touch.
I'm lefty. Yeah. So that was a plus. I'm a left-handed dude. That's plus in basketball, baseball, and football.
Yeah.
And I would have played, but I talked myself out of it mentally, being like, I won't be smart enough to learn the whole playbook. I won't be like, I won't be able to do this. I was afraid of being bad. And so I just like went like, well, yeah, I'll just play tight end. Like, that's a position I know I can play. It's easy. Like, I know I can block the edge. I know I can go out for a route. But we had a running team. Our running back went to TCU. Like to play corner.
Yeah.
And so like
I think part of me was like, I think I would have wanted to keep playing, but our high school threw the ball like three times again. So I was like, there's no point in trying to go be a wideout on this team.
We had some good receivers. My homeboy Sammy, whose dad played for the Bills and the Falcons, Sammy Rogers.
Okay.
Remember that linebacker or edge rush? Yeah, he played in the league for a while, but he played receiver. We had Chad Martinez, who was really good. Super long hair. Really cool guy. And we had some good wideouts. We had some dope receivers. The guy who went to TCU was like an athlete. So he played quarterback.
Did it all. Yeah. Wideout. Like in the video game. He recruited
him. Long snapper. Yeah. I punted in high school too, by the way.
Really?
Nah. Yeah, I was pretty good at that. A random skill that I had. And I was like, maybe I could take this somewhere. But then everybody made fun of me.
I don't want to be a punter anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I quit.
This is the lesson that, and I always preach is like, stop worrying about what other people think and just do your shit, because that is what really ruined my fucking football career, because I was just so nervous. Like, I was like, I don't want to go out for quarterback this year because I'm afraid that they'll be like, they'll laugh me off the field.
Yeah.
And when I probably could have done it, like I was tall enough. Like, I'm tall enough.
Yeah,
like, I'm not even.
Was
like,
the quarterback good? Like,
or our quarterback's pretty good. We had Jersell, who went to TCU, and then we had Noah, who was a quarterback. He was like, they both started. Like, it depends on what set we were in. So, like, Noah would start some games.
But you could have given him a run. Yeah.
He directs commercials now. I actually saw him at UCB one night.
Really?
But,
he jumped in for your team ahead of you.
God damn it. But yes, Saints fan, die hard.
It's been a pretty good time to be a Saints fan. I mean,
it wasn't growing up. It's what gave me the underdog chip on my shoulder was being a Saints fan throughout my childhood. I was born in 89, so all the 90s, like, of my childhood growing up, like, learning about football, we sucked, and we were the laughing stock. Everybody talked about how bad we were. So then when I moved to L.A., when I was, like, 9, 10 years old, I wasn't just going to jump on the Lakers bandwagon. That's why I became a Clipper fan.
Yeah.
Because and now, like, now you're getting a double dose of it.
Yeah.
But then what? So it's like, what, the early 2000s, you get like Aaron Brooks and Deuce McAllister and Joe Horn.
And, you know, those were fun teams.
Willie Rofe. Yeah, Willie Rofe was like mid-90s.
Yeah, mid-90s.
Was he a Chief too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Finished his career.
We had some good teams. We went to the playoffs those years for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, by the end of the decade, 2006, Hurricane Katrina hits in 05. 06, we have the Steve Gleason block punt against, and that was just kind of like, that was kind of like breaking the curse, because we were always known as a cursed team.
Your punt is getting blocked.
Yeah. And so Steve Gleason blocked the punt, but then he gets ALS.
You can't have nice things. Yeah. No good deed goes unpunished.
But so that's like a statue outside the arena now.
Yeah.
Because that was like the rebirth of the team.
Yeah.
Drew Brees comes. We get Marcus Colston years, and like, you know, finally win a Super Bowl.
Forget, I feel like, is it the same year they get Drew Brees? Don't they also draft Reggie Bush?
Yeah,
now it didn't work out, but at the time, people were like, "Holy shit!" Yeah, I mean, he didn't live up to the hype, but he was good.
Yeah,
I mean, being the best player in college football and then coming to the NFL and just being a good player.
Good, yeah.
Well, like the Drew Brees thing was, there was like some like trepidation there. It was like, he and Dante Culpepper were like the two free agent quarterbacks.
Oh.
And like Culpepper was like considered like the safer bet because Breeze was coming off a shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I think Miami was, and maybe it was Nick Saban?
Maybe
coaching in Miami at the time?
Yeah. I think like he was, they were like pushing for Breeze and then like backed out at the last second and went with Culpepper, and then Breeze went to the Saints.
Wow.
And rest is history.
Sliding doors moment there. Yeah. I mean, Breeze was pretty decent as a Charger, but what, they were drafting Phil Rivers, or maybe had already drafted him, and they're like, we're going to let him walk.
Breeze, yeah, it took Breeze like a second to like kind of develop. Like his first
He got hurt. He like broke his arm or something.
But even he struggled a little bit.
Even guys who underperform now, it seems so rare to let a starting caliber quarterback walk away, like what Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill. But most of them, even if you're Derek Carr, you're getting a massive deal now. It seems crazy in retrospect.
You look pretty good in that preseason game yesterday, too. I'm not mad about it.
We
won that Super Bowl. And also 2 weeks before that Super Bowl, the NFC Championship week was the week I started improv.
Wow.
It was a sign. They've been with me the whole time. And then we got slapped with the sanctions, which leads us to teams that we hate.
Oh, yeah, let's do
Number one for me, the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, he hates the Vikings.
Fuck the Vikings, dog. Fuck a Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota Miracle.
Bullshit. Garbage.
Who's the DB for the...
I don't even remember.
Saints, who took the really weird angle?
Good. Marcus Williams.
Marcus Williams.
Was it really him?
Yeah. And he's good. He's really good.
Yeah.
But that was a bad play.
It's so funny that one of the things I think of him for is like whenever I would start a Madden franchise, I'd be like, all right, I got to trade for Marcus.
Yeah.
He's like 90. And he's good. Makes he's like good. $1 million a year.
Minnesota Vikings. You rapid round.
Denver Broncos.
Why?
I fucking hate the Broncos.
Yeah.
Chiefs arch rival, like, ripped my heart out as a kid multiple times. Like, of the AFC West teams, like, I hate the Broncos. Passion. Like, I love to hate the Raiders. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with the Chargers. But, like, the Broncos, if they ceased to exist, I would be A-okay with it.
Yeah.
Ravens. It's the Ravens for me.
It's the Ravens for me.
It's the Ravens. It's giving Ravens. That's when they reboot That's So Raven for a third time in 15 years. It's going to be the then outdated slang. It's giving Raven.
It's giving Raven.
Because the Browns and Bengals just, and I think, and when you say you're cool with the Chargers, I bet Chargers fans are going to hear that and go, fuck you. You should be.
I do that on purpose.
Like, I can't, like, the Browns and the Bengals, it's harder to stay, like, hating on. Like, I would think
right now you'd hate the Bengals.
I don't, though, because I went to school in Athens, Ohio, which is where Joe Burrow is from, and I've always been a big Joe Burrow fan.
He's tight. Joe Scheisty.
When he won the Heisman, he, like, shouted out, like, a women's shelter or a food bank in Athens that
Burrow's
then raised
cool. yeah.
$1 million overnight. And so I like Burrow, and I like
There's
Chase.
Hateable guys.
I like these, yeah.
There's some hateable guys on there.
Yeah, in the backfield.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, the Ravens, and the Ravens have had a lot more of these, like, and even in the years when the Bengals and Steelers were having all these games with, like, Vontaze Burfict, who's the one that the Steelers fans hated on the Bengals, and then, like, the Bengals fans had a lot of hate for Juju and like Hines Ward for different hits that were leveled on guys and Shazier too.
Yeah.
But now they can't talk about their Shazier hate anymore. It seems distasteful. But he lit up Gio Bernard, I think, in a kind of dirty way once. But it was still just like the
Shazier was dirty?
He had a pretty tough hit on, I want to say it was Gio Bernard. It was like near the sidelines. It was pretty tough hit.
That's crazy.
Shazier, he played kind of recklessly, but it's the play that he got hurt on, it didn't seem, I don't know.
Yeah.
I love Shazier.
What NFC South teams do you hate?
I mean, Tampa Bay when they had Tom Brady, of course.
Who's like the Saints' like biggest rival traditionally?
The Falcons.
The Falcons?
Yeah. But it's also like that shit is fun. Like, I was in New Orleans last year for Falcons week, and the shit talking between those two fan bases, especially because like both fan bases are like very strongly black.
Yeah.
And so it's like
Atlanta,
it's just
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Fan bases love to travel to the other city too.
Yes.
Because both cities are a fucking good time.
It was so many Atlanta fans in New Orleans that weekend, and they were just talking. Like, I was at the Harrah's Casino down there, and just around that crap table, just seeing old Falcons fans and old Saints fans just kind of going at each other. It's like fun. So it's like a weird, like, Like when they went to the Super Bowl to play against the Patriots, I guess we can all say the same team we all hate.
Oh, it's
we
the
all
Patriots. Do.
Yes, the Patriots. We all hate the Patriots.
That goes without saying.
Yeah. But like the Falcons is like it's a rivalry because we were always so bad for so long, and we got to the Super Bowl first.
Yeah,
you know, which was very cool. So we got our ring. Like, and then I was rooting for them in that Super Bowl, but I also was fine that they lost.
Yeah,
I know the feeling. Yeah, when you like. For me, it was like the Phillies and the Astros last year because the Phillies had beaten the Braves and I was pissed.
Yeah.
And it's like, obviously, we all want the Astros to lose.
Yeah.
But I'd be fine if the Phillies lost. The little party was like, I'd be a little upset.
Yeah, it was exactly that same feeling with the Falcons and Patriots that year.
I remember I went to UCB for the Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl, the recent one.
Yeah.
Not the McNabb one in like 2005 or whatever, but...
And like some weird basement in New York.
Yeah. But I was in UCB Sunset in the Inner Sanctum, and they played the game on it. And it was one of the most fun times I've ever had watching a Super Bowl because there was like 100 people there.
Yeah.
And I think there were one or two Patriots fans and then a fair amount of Eagles people. And then everyone who was neutral was for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And the game was awesome. And you had the like flea flicker play or
Philly special.
Yeah.
And I think that was also the game where they tried to throw a pass to Tom Brady and Daniel Jones fucking ate it. And it was a fucking blast.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that there were that many like improv people that were had a vested interest in it.
I mean, there were definitely some people there who like were not on the football vibe. I think I remember someone who was like, I didn't know what food was going to be here, so I brought myself a little thing of couscous.
That's what I figured would be like kind of the predominant vibe. Yeah.
The sports ball people are out at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But that day, people who are fans, like me and Matt Besser, are like, why the fuck did you come?
Yeah.
Go home.
Were you there too?
I wasn't there for that one because I chose to go play basketball that day
because
I was just like, I don't want to see Tom Brady win another ring. Like,
yeah.
I'll tell you this, though. I did when I was on Mess Hall, which is like the Herald teams before you're on Herald Night, for those who don't know. When I was on that, a bunch of Mess Hall people started a flag football team that we would go play in a league in Santa Monica. And we were fucking bad.
Yeah.
And that was like what you're talking about. Like, I wouldn't think UCB. It's like when I tell people I play in the basketball league, I'm like, no, there's some people in the basketball league who can play. But like the UCB football team I was on was
pretty exactly what you would expect.
I would never join a UCB flag football team because I don't think they realize, and it's kind of what happened with the baseball league I'm into, where it's like, oh, we get together and we're all some fun folks and we're gonna go
cracking
out and
jokes having fun,
and the other teams are like trying to play.
Yeah.
Now, for starters, I'm never playing flag football again in my life in Los Angeles, and I haven't done it since I was 23, and that was the last time that I would ever do it because these people think they're going to the NFL. Like, in these LA Sports Network flag football leagues, they fight, they hit you, they like, and it's like, bro, I'm not out here for this.
It'd be people who like work at sports agencies and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I played with some of them. But no, the UCB team, we won one game all year. It was the only game in which we scored. The other team was down a person. So it was like being on a power play the whole game. I was the quarterback. I remember we actually had a pretty good, like, we scored like 5 touchdowns that game or something. We had, but the rest of it, and it was in Santa Monica where they have that fake turf field where there's like the little black beads on it.
Oh, at Santa Monica High School.
And if, yeah. And if you slide or dive or anything, it tears your skin apart.
Yeah.
And I was like in shorts and just dying. And I was like, I think that was the last time I played flag.
What's another team that you hate?
I mean, the Patriots are such a...
The Patriots right now, like what's happening to them is so funny.
Yeah.
It feels like they're rewarding us now for like all that we've put up with. To like have Matt Patricia be like the offensive coordinator for a year and then just like move the game back like 50 years.
Yeah.
It's
hilarious. And like everything now sounds like it's not going well in training camp. Like all the receivers suck and. It's awesome.
Love to see it. It's great to see. Oh,
love
you know what? Here's who I'll say. I hate the Packers.
Oh.
I know that's not because they've got some lovable things that I didn't always hate
them.
I
get it.
But they beat us to the Super Bowl. So I remember my first year in LA, it's January or February of 2011. and we have people over. I'm living in a house with like five guys, you know, and we watch that game. And the Steelers had a chance to win. It would have been their third Super Bowl in like 6 years.
Dynasty.
And it would have been. It would have been.
Dynasty.
Sharp Mendenhall has a really costly fumble and then goes on to become a more successful TV writer than me, which, what the fuck?
Wait, really?
He retired. He wrote on Ballers.
He went on Ballers.
At one point, I was like, I'm a fucking still a staff writer. This motherfucker's a story editor. What the fuck? He's also doing better than me at my thing. He retired it. Like, he went and played like 1 year for Bruce Arians.
In Arizona,
and
yeah.
Then he quit. But good for him. But anyways... So then my niece had just been born a couple weeks earlier in Boston. And so the morning after the Packers beat us in the Super Bowl, I fly to Boston to try and help out with my three-week-old niece. My sister is still in school. And I'm like, oh, I'm hungover. I'm pissed off. And I get on a plane. And I'm, where's my layover? Fucking Milwaukee. Whole plane full of people with fucking cheese heads on it.
That both sucks.
Going in and out. I get to the airport. Everyone's buying their Super Bowl merch at the airport. It was one of the worst mornings of sports fandom everywhere. And then, like, I used to like Aaron Rodgers. Over the last few years, I grew to really dislike Aaron Rodgers.
We're going to talk about that in another episode.
Yeah.
Hot take or unlikable take from me, I don't get the hate. Like, there's certain things that are unlikable, but people hate that man. And I go, what's so bad about it?
Those Pat McAfee interviews, pretty grating. Like, put the nail in my cancel culture casket. Like, oh. I was like, shut up, dude. Honestly,
more so than anything he's done, it's just his fucking attitude about it that drives me crazy.
He thinks Tom Brady is so much more unlikable.
Oh, well, yeah,
of course.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, he's the devil.
Yeah. And let me say this is
Aaron Rodgers is just kind of a douchey quarterback. But
let me say this is a Michigan fan, too. Imagine if, who's your college? Do you have a college basketball team, Carl? Say Mississippi?
Like, college basketball, UCLA. Like, all right. I'm all across the board. I love college sports, so I'm all across the board.
So imagine if fucking Michael Jordan or LeBron had played at your college and fucking sucked.
Yeah.
That's what it's like to be a Michigan fan who watches Tom Brady. He's like, he couldn't even keep the job at Michigan. I think he kept losing to the job of that guy, Drew Henson. Played like minor league ball for the Yankees and a little bit for the Cowboys. And Tom Brady, like, couldn't even stay on the field, and then he goes on to be the fucking greatest quarterback of all time. It's infuriating.
Well, Peyton Manning is the greatest, but
I like that. I like that as a spicy take.
For now,
he doesn't hurt his neck. Who knows? He could have padded the numbers some more.
I also hate the LA Rams.
Yeah, fuck the. I fucking hate the Rams.
Like, interesting.
Yeah, and honestly, there's a few reasons why. One. They won a Super Bowl too quickly after being in the city, and it made Laker fans be like, "City Clippers still don't have nothing."
Oh, yeah, fair.
Like, it's like, how are the Clippers involved in this? Like, this is football.
Everything is about, dude. As a, are we all Clippers fans?
Yeah.
We all know anything that happens in sports could be twisted onto the Clippers.
Yeah, but they also, of course, the missed pass interference call of the 2018 NFC Championship.
Yeah.
I was flying back from Sketchfest, watching it on my phone, going through security, and I saw that play, and I was like, what? And I, like, screamed in the TSA line. Everybody's like, I'm like, sorry, everybody, sorry.
Tackled.
Yeah, exactly.
Rams put you in, like, Guantanamo.
Exactly.
Like, okay, that's fair. That's a fair reason to hate it, too.
Dude, and what's crazy is when they first moved to LA, I was like, you know what? You know, I'll buy a T-shirt. Because that was before the Chargers said they were coming up. I was like, hey, man, you know what? I'll buy a T-shirt.
They were fun at the time. It was like Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, of course. Like, Aaron Donald's like, you know, best defensive player in the league. I love him.
Yeah.
But, like, I was like, let me get me a T-shirt. And I like this classic logo type thing. I'll be a part of this. And then that game happened. I was like, no. And then they went on to give Tom Brady his –
yeah.
Probably the worst ring of his career.
Yeah. Oh,
the luckiest fucking bullshit ass ring.
They catch like a 7-9 Washington team. That was the luckiest play. He was downright bad that year.
Yeah.
Like watching that, like knowing how close, like the Chiefs basically were like a coin toss away from, we get like a rematch of maybe one of the greatest like regular season games of all time.
Yeah.
The Chiefs and the Rams.
Yeah, I remember where I was for that game.
Yeah.
That was a great game.
Yeah.
At the old stadium too. So it looked kind of classic.
Yeah.
That was a cool one. I just, that Super Bowl, like, I just know in my heart that Drew Brees would have gone in there and kicked Tom Brady's ass in Super Bowl, and my dick would have grown 3 inches. Like, it would have just been, like, the best moment. Like, yeah. Drew Brees beating Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And the fucking Rams didn't. And I know what people are going to say. Well, it was a lot of game to play after that, and they couldn't capitalize. Shut up. But also, the next season, I went to the Rams Saints in L.A. That was the first time I saw the Saints play live in my life. And I had on a Saints jersey, but a lot of Saints fans were wearing ref uniforms. And we ended up losing that game because Drew Brees went down, which was kind of marked like the end of his career. Because when he came back, he was never the same.
Right.
Couldn't get the ball like 30 yards down the field. And Teddy Bridgewater came in and kind of game managed. And we had Cam Jordan got a fumble and recovered a touchdown, but the ref blew the play dead.
I remember that. Yeah. I do remember that.
And it was it was clean. And then you look at the replay, it was clearly clean.
Yeah.
But we didn't get
and
that.
And you're also just supposed to not blow it dead and then review it.
Review it after. Yeah. You review every scoring play, right? Or is that college?
Every scoring play, but they'll do like quick ones.
But they say picks and turnovers, it's like err on the side of letting it play out. Yeah. And then if you want to overturn it, you can. But if you blow it dead, then you can't get it right.
Man, that was awful.
Also,
Rams fans who are like not real football fans.
Nah, like, no such thing.
There are no real Rams fans. First of all, this is a Raiders town.
Yeah.
Number one. And I hate being a LA guy who's like, this is a so-and-so town because it is a Laker town.
Because as a Clipper fan, you got thrown in your
face. Yeah. But like, that game afterwards, they were so froggy. Like, they were so... Like, yeah, y'all coming in here with the refs jerseys on. Ain't nobody cheat y'all. Y'all had a chance. I was like, y'all lost.
Yeah.
So it was just annoying. So from that moment on, I was like anti-Rams. And also the Chargers are just a more fun team, and their jerseys are cooler.
Yeah,
and
definitely better look.
It's also, again, I got to be honest, it's always fun to root for like the underdog or like the second team. The Chargers are the Clippers of football in L.A. So,
yeah.
I got a soft spot for them. I like the Chargers.
Chargers are a team that have just had so many fucking studs over the years, and they've just never, like, remember how fucking good LaDainian Tomlinson
was? Yeah.
One of the best.
And they just never put it together.
It never, it's for whatever reason, it just never comes together.
Ryan's got the biggest shit-eating grin on his face.
Yeah.
14-2 with LT and, like, Marty Schottenheimer, and they lose in the first round. That's a distinct memory.
Was that the Chiefs?
No. We didn't win a playoff game between 93 and 2015.
So you earned some goodwill.
That Chargers loss in the playoffs was to the Patriots.
Oh.
I just remember, like, LT, like, stormed off and wouldn't shake hands afterwards, and, like, people were like, oh, it's shitty of him, but he's normally such a class act. And I'm like, it's not fucking rocket science. It's easy to be a class act when you're 14-2.
Yeah.
And then when you lose a playoff game, of course you're pissed off. Like,
also, you losing in that fashion, like, come on, you ain't got to shake hands.
It's like, what happened, right? They were winning, and then, like, a guy, like, I think a Chargers safety dropped an easy interception.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Also, Tom Brady does shitty things all the time.
He's the biggest fucking hypocrite with that. Like, if he loses, he like pouts and like
sashays off the field.
How many fucking Windows tablets
has he broken?
Whatever the official bullshit tablet of the NFL that you've never seen a human being use in your entire life.
A Windows Surface, the official bullshit tablet of the NFL.
Like, you have to be like, God, fuck my. My fucking NFL team's hopes are riding on these guys that are using like a Garmin GPS to draw up plays. Let's get an iPad in these motherfuckers' hands.
How you do this?
Unless Windows Surface tablets want to sponsor the pod, in which case,
absolutely.
I will ad read. I'll win a fucking Oscar.
Before we get into fantasy football rankings, I want to talk about the Windows Surface. Now, as I look here on my Apple, the Windows Surface Pro is what it's called.
Are you tired of people seeing your tablet and not kind of going, huh, what the fuck? Windows tablet.
Are you tired of people looking at your tablet going, is that a Kindle? Listen, we have reached the end of the first episode, the introductory episode.
Yeah, this was just a how do you do?
How do you do? Top of the morning to ya. This is, we air some of our grievances, and we're going to be doing this every episode. We're going to be airing grievances every episode, so get ready, because I know you hate listeners love this shit. I know who you are.
Yeah, you Broncos fans, be ready, man. I'm gonna be trashing your team.
Oh yeah, I'm already amped to not read your comments about why do you guys shit on this team so much and why do you guys do that, because I don't care.
Yeah, ignore them.
I don't give a fuck, dog.
I have some good friends from Baltimore, and I respect them.
I got some good friends who are Patriots fans. Sean and Hayes.
Are they both Patriots fans?
Yeah, with their asshole asses.
Oh, man.
They're both Patriots fans.
Asshole ass motherfuckers.
Yeah, they're both Patriots fans. Wow. They're both Celtics fans. But they do like the Clippers. But they're Celtics fans, Celtics diehards. And football-wise, they're Patriots diehards.
Yeah.
Hayes, I don't know for sure. Hayes, does he care about football? Yeah, he does.
We'll have him on.
We'll have him on probably next week. and we're going to talk about some rankings, some fantasy football rankings.
Yeah, we'll get into some fantasy next week.
If you got some questions about fantasy football, strategy and things like that, send them in. We'll give you our advice on them. And it's up to you to take it.
Yeah.
That's on you. but the inaugural episode of Foosballs ends now.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.